You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Had a look at the bride. Sunday before that, we had a look at the restored wife, both having to do with promises made to Abraham. We learned also that as far as the restored wife was concerned, had to do with the land. That was given to Abraham by covenant. And it was not for him to win or lose. It was just his. But he became a sojourner. He never had a home. He lived in tents. Why? Because he desired something better. He desired a city whose maker and builder was God. That has to do with the bride, the remnant of Israel. He could not lose the land. That was his regardless. But he was not satisfied with that. He wanted the best. What a picture it is of us. In other words, the holy city was the prize. We have a prize too. Well, don't think we'll get there this morning, but anyhow, huh? That's right. And that's one of the prizes. We'll get there this morning, but just to remind you where we're talking about, we're moving in that direction. It's the body, the one body. And it's the body we're talking about that Paul prays for you and for me in the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding, a heart, if you will, being enlightened that you may know, not guess about it, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the super heavens, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Underscore that. Also that which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him the headship, the head, over all, what to what? To the church. The things in there is in italics. It's context of the church, not all things. Although it is true, but that's not what he's talking about. And what is this? This is the body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we have a problem because a body is mentioned in the 1 Corinthians letter. Turn there. In fact, this was brought up Saturday before last. And we were going to answer it yesterday, but for some reason the Lord had other plans and we didn't get on the air. In fact, the radio station was off the air. We were there, and we had a good bull session, so to speak. That's where we talked about the prodigal son that he mentioned this morning, and he elaborated it and applied it to other things as well as what we were talking about, which I thought was excellent. That's what we said, just among ourselves. But we have a body mentioned here, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. And I want you to follow this very closely, because there are those who tell us this is the same body that we're talking about in Ephesians. And if you're not a right divider, if you don't try the things that differ, if you don't compare spiritual things with spiritual things, then there is an appeal. But if you do those three things, then there is no appeal. We can be dogmas on this. Notice the subject matter concerning spiritual gifts. And in the context of all these spiritual gifts that are enumerated here, they're given as signs so that the Jew would know for sure that God was doing his work toward introducing and offering them the new covenant as well as their Messiah. That's the context of the 12th chapter, spiritual gifts. Notice, I would not have you to be ignorant. That's a good way to start. Because unless we do rightly divide, we are ignorant because we fall in the same category, just like that song we sang earlier about, I don't know, you know, but we do know. I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. That no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gift, but what? The same Spirit. The diversities of administration, but what? The same Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 6, diversities of operations with the same God. Spirit, Lord, and God. You see, all three here are inclusive of the Godhead. See that? And it goes on to list 9 different signs. And then when you get to the last verse of that chapter, covet the best gifts, and yet what? I'll show you a more excellent way than that. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one thing, love never fails, the 8th verse. But he uses some of these signs and gifts to show that they have a limitation. You can see the major of this body that we're talking about here, and it is mentioned in verse 13. Let's look at that in chapter 12 before I move on. I should have read that and didn't. But one Spirit, we all baptized into one body. So that the one body here is majoring in what? Spiritual gifts. Signs, wonders, miracles. But Paul said, I want to show you a more excellent way. Now, it's true that love never fails. On the other hand, the prophecies shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge shall vanish away. Why? Because we only have it in part. See? That's when this letter was written. We know in part. We don't know the whole truth. We have a truth, but we don't have the truth. And you have partiality. We prophesy in part, therefore. But when that which is telos is come, this is the word to bring to fruition. In other words, Paul is saying, when you can be a full orbed, understand, looking at the whole picture, not in part, then there'll be no need of what? Prophecies, tongues, or knowledge, because you have the whole. Why? Well, we learn in Colossians that some a great truth. For in him Christ is what? Hidden all these treasures that will replace that which is in part. When you have the perfect. Now, in the Colossian letter, when do we discover in the fullness? Colossians chapter 1. These are familiar verses to you, but I want you to see how they all fit right in. Colossians chapter 1. Paul refers to his calling when he says in verse 25, I made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to polario the Word of God, even the mystery. Now, we spent some time on this word. It means to fill to the full, complete, lacking nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, no man can ever become teleos, brought to fruition and maturity, unless what? He has the completed Word of God. Now, this creates problems. Why? Because it automatically it throws us clear off balance on our chronology. What book in the Bible completes the Bible? Yeah, but you look at the canon, what completes the Bible? Revelation. You see, we run into a problem. And they tell us, tradition-wise, they know that this Revelation letter was written about 90 to 96 A.D. Now, that's impossible if the mystery completes the Word of God. See? Now, we have to either follow the laws of interpretation or we have to follow tradition. Now, what happened when God's people followed tradition back 2,000 years ago? It makes it of no effect. And that's exactly what's happened. Let's turn now to Ephesians, back to Ephesians just for a minute. We're just giving you the key verses, because we're going to have to probably finish this up next week. But we want to get things started and launched today. So remember what we're looking at, so we don't have to go back and repeat too much of this. Turn to the second chapter of Ephesians. Now, Paul here is writing to the saints at Ephesus, and particularly the Gentile, because while it is true that the Ephesian church, like all the churches that Paul established, had a Jewish hierarchy, but by and large, as far as numbers are concerned, they were Gentiles. And he calls this to their attention. Notice, wherefore remember, you being past time Gentiles in the flesh, if that's all you were, you were uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, the 9th chapter of Romans tells us that all the promises, all of them, all the covenants, all the adoption, everything is who? It's Israel. We didn't have nothing. That's in the revealed plan of God. Left out in the cold. Completely. Now, as far as the real plan is concerned, they rejected Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh and nailed him to a tree. The one who could have delivered Israel from the tyranny that they were under. And then God, because of the prayer of our Lord on the tree, Father, forgive them what? They know not what they're doing. A second opportunity was launched at the day of Pentecost. That's why Peter asked the question in chapter 1, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know. That jurisdiction is in who? The Father's authority. He did not say yes. He did not say no. Which implies a condition. And Peter begins to preach that condition. And listen carefully. Repent and be converted, and all your sins will be blotted out. And the times of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord. And here's what they wanted. And send Jesus Christ back, whom all the prophets have foretold, whom the heavens must receive until when? Until the restoration. In the second chapter, he had preached before that, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, shall come to pass, that I will pour out of what? My spirit. And they had the evidence. They began to speak with other tongues. They began to perform these miracles of chapter 12. That body was active. You can see that. All things were in prospect. The sad thing is that the 12th, we come to the last chapter of Acts, and I'm not going to go through that because I've been through it so many times. Perhaps I should. Maybe there's somebody here who wasn't here. When Paul arrived at Rome, he called the elders of Israel, and he said, "For the hope of Israel am I in this chain." Still there. The miracles were still performed in that chapter. Remember, he cast the venomous snakes into the fire. He healed all the people on the Isle of Malta of their troubles. So it was still the power, the signs and the miracles were there. He preached to them early morning till late at night, and they couldn't agree among themselves. What a sad day. What a glad day. And he quoted the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see what you will not see. You have ears to hear what you will not hear. This heart of this people is waxed gross and dull of hearing. Therefore, be it known unto you the salvation that authorized the Gentiles. And that's what we read about in Colossians. Christ among the Gentiles now. We have, not what I heard, we don't have the power, but we have the obligation of keeping and rightly dividing the scriptures, because God has come in now with something completely foreign to the revealed plan of God, a hidden purpose that Ephesians 1 says that we were chosen in Christ when? Before the overthrow of the cosmos, not since or from, which was the subject matter of all the prophets. See? Our body today does not major on signs and miracles and wonders. What does it major upon? That's right. To quote it verbatim, that's right. Headship of Christ is right. That's a good answer. But let's look at it from a scriptural. It's always better that what you said was true. I'm not putting it down. But let's look at it from a scriptural point of view. In this great body today, there's no such thing as a Gentile. There's no such thing as a Jew. There's no such thing as a barbarian, a scythian, or bond, or free, but who? Christ is all. That's all there is. Ain't that pitiful? That's all. And then we learn in that same breath that we're complete in Christ. What does that completeness mean? It means that everything is separated. All the rituals, all the grave clothes of Judaism, all the baptisms and all that things, and even remembering of the Lord's Supper. The rituals are all what? And there are no ordinances today. Well, why? Because Christ is all. This is the major of the body today. Not the major of the revealed plan, but the major of the hidden purpose. Now turn to the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. We'll see what we're talking about. We read verse 11 a while ago. Remember, you Gentiles. You see, the land given by a covenant to Abraham was to Israel. All of Israel. They could not win and lose that. Even those Jews who rebelled back yonder in the wilderness, they're still going to get the land. For 1,900 years, Jews have been dying for Christ. But they're going to get the land. And they're going to get an opportunity to receive the new covenant. Just like those Jews and Gentiles in the book of Acts were offered the new covenant, which Paul refers to as what? My gospel. We won't go into that right now. Maybe we'll get to it next Sunday. But in any case, notice, here's what happened. As before the book of Acts, verse 12, at that time, speaking to the Gentiles, you were without Christ. You were aliens. You were strangers from the covenants. You had no hope. Verse 2, but now, here's one of the great buts in the Bible. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, that's us Gentiles, are made nigh by the covenants of Israel? No, by the efficacy of the blood of Christ, which was slain before the foundations of the world. Before any covenants were ever even cut. And he is our peace, who made both one, Gentile and Jew, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh what? Enmity, the law of commandments and what? Ordinances. To make in the of himself of the two, that word make, incidentally, is create, not make. It's also found in verse 10. We are his workmanship created. Same word. We are a new creation. New man is a new creation. He's not an old creation. He's a new creation. Now, what separated the Jew and the Gentile? Was the Gentile a worse sinner than the Jew? Third chapter of Romans answers that question. There's no difference. The Jew just as big a sinner as the Gentile was. But what made the difference? A covenant. And that covenant was represented by its rituals. And everything the Jew did pointed to that fact that he was unique. He was set aside from the world. He should have been. He wasn't. That's the problem. That's always been his problem. He sought out other lovers. See? If you were in the class this morning, you heard Tommy here talking about the whoredoms of Israel. Is an unfaithful wife. See, that was. But the thing that distinguished between them was the law of separation, which was the covenant. And incidentally, in the temple, even the Gentiles were brought in as Jewish proselytes, had a court called the Court of the Gentiles. But you stepped into the place where the Jews put their little skull caps on and go into worship. There was a great big stone plaque. No Gentile goes beyond this except he is ready to face death. That's the wall that separated. It was based upon all that ritual worship, you see. That's what made the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. And the outwardly he was circumcised so that there'd be no question about who he was. That's why God said to him, you uncircumcised in what? In heart. Have they stumbled that they should fall? No, not at all. But God has raised up you Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. And don't forget, the root is Israel. That's who bears you, according to the scriptures, according to the revealed plan of God. But now, in Christ Jesus, we're what? Complete in him, without any ordinance, without any of these things, these grave clothes. And we have a new calling. We have a new inheritance. What is that inheritance? Verse 6 of chapter 2, Ephesians. Not only is Christ risen far above all principalities and powers, and now seated in his authority, but that what he's done for us is this, what? You talk about a prize. He's raised us other, he's made us set together where? Verse 6, Ephesians 2. In the super heavens, we've been exalted to his place. I'll tell you that. We don't appreciate that like we should. That's the body we belong to. We do not belong to that body. And I'm not taking anything away from them. If I was a Jew and was brought in under that, I would be plenty happy with it. But the real ball game is who? the exalted place of Christ. We've been raised in sin. And that's what? Of any law? No. No law can do that. That's sovereign grace if ever there was. And there's no afterthought. That in the ages to come, verse 7, Ephesians 2, he has one great big surprise after another. And brother, I'm waiting to see what can be a surprise. And notice, it's not a one-time happening, notice. It's throughout the what? Somebody read that out loud. Throughout the ages. Not age, but the ages to come. We're talking about this morning, Tom, was about the return of the prodigal son. They had a big celebration. And that's wonderful. I'm glad they did. We're going to have celebration all the time. And what for? Look at Ephesians chapter 10, verse 10, chapter 3. Right now, he's using this sovereign grace to testify as a showcase to the angelic world. They're learning all about us. And they desire to look into these things. They don't understand it. It's something contrary to what God's ever done before. It reminds me of, I think I've told this a couple of times, but it's a good joke and a good illustration, so it needs telling again. This is just a story now. This is not scripture, but you can see it illustrates something wonderful. After Israel rejected God in the 20th chapter of Acts, Gabriel walked up. He said, you know, Lord, I don't know what you keep fooling around them fellows down there. They're not a single one. There's none good. No, not one. They're just a mess and always have been. They're stiff-necked, rebellious people. And let's just wipe them out of the way and go on and start something brand new. I'm sick and tired. I've been a messenger going down there to and fro doing things, and it all comes out as a big flunk every time. That's all. There's just no hope. Can't we launch a new program? He said, well, as far as the revealed plan is concerned, I don't have a new program there. But I have got a new program. Yeah, I got a new one. It had to do with that. We ain't not going to cast that away. I'm not going to be frustrated in that. But I got something I've had. I worked out. We worked this out in the council. You remember that council room? You didn't get to go into it, but you remember we had a council room before we ever started this thing? In that council room, I worked out this plan. It's been hidden all these centuries. We're going to make it known for the first time. We got that little short-legged Jew down there that's been running around, you know, confirming all my truths. Now we're going to give him a new revelation called My Sacred Secret, called The Mystery. See, I can't talk to you in scripture language. I've got to talk to you down in the language you understand, American language. You know that's exactly what God did when he condescended to use Greek? We ought to realize that. When God uses the Greek language, he's speaking as a Jew. He never made a covenant with anybody outside of the Jew. He speaks like a Jew. But he don't speak that way to us. He speaks like to the Jew because it's law. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But when he speaks to us, he speaks in grace. I'm so glad of that. Now you talk about an inheritance that's far above all other things. As wonderful as God is, and as wonderful as all the promises he had to Israel, how faithful and how patient through the years he was. Yet with us, Gentile dogs, that's what we were. And you know, actually, all human beings are dogs when you get right down to it. But the Gentile was not in any covenant relationship. That's why he's called that. But God had a plan for us. I'm so glad he did. Next week we're going to look at that plan in what Paul calls my gospel. It's the foundation upon which the mystery is built. Paul was his call to the Gentile long before he ever revealed or had revealed to him the mystery. It was what Paul calls my gospel. That's a wonderful gospel. And it's the very foundation stone upon which the mystery itself is built. We'll see that next week. I hope you can keep this line of thought in mind so I don't have to go back and repeat so much of this again. Because if we do keep repeating, we never get on with the show. If you want to do that, try to wind it up next week on reference to the body so you'll understand the body you belong to, where Christ is head of all. And he's all. That's all there is. That's why we're complete. Without anything else. This is the hope we have. Not only that, but Christ is in us, living out his life. And remember that when you wonder what you want God to do, just listen carefully. He said, "Son, work out your own salvation. Do it yourself. Because I'm working it out, whether you know it or not. If you want to enjoy it, get on the train, ride along. It's exactly time to quit." Father, I thank you again for your graciousness, long-suffering, and our inability to take hold of these depths because of our weaknesses. And yet, Lord, we rejoice in our weaknesses. As Paul said, "For when I'm weak, then what? I'm strong." I thank you for that, Father. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll keep me under, because we are so prone to think we're really something. And yet we're everything, because you dwell in us. Thank you, Lord, for these great truths. May they really sober us and make us those who walk, need to walk worthy, and we want to deal with that next week. We read the scriptures today, but we didn't get into it, and I'm sorry about that, but it'll be next week, and I hope that everybody can retain what we've said so that it'll be fresh as we get into it next week. Thank you, Father, for attending to these things, as we ask these graces in the name for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.